back to the Sticks at Culture podcast. I'm joined by Danny. What's going on?
How about you, Ren?
I'm not doing well at all in terms of Calcio, obviously. As a Roma fan, it's been a very rough stretch since Saturday. But overall, yeah, I'm doing good. We had some good games. We had Inter Milan, of course, a game that everybody was looking forward to. We had Cagliari upset Atalanta, which, it can happen. I was speaking to my dad about it. I said how after these international breaks, when all these like top teams have their best players out on a break, and then these smaller clubs have their whole team together for 2 weeks, it's kind of hard to beat a team when they have like 2 weeks of preparation compared to, you know, guys coming back from international break all scrambled together and not really on the same page again yet. So I knew some upsets would happen. They usually do after international break, and I was shocked by the Cagliari one. Napoli continued their, you know, fine form, even shorthanded. They've been doing good this year to find ways to win. And some brief Coppa Italia talk towards the end we'll get into a little bit, since, you know, Roma put Inter yesterday. And this podcast will most likely be out either during or after the Milan-Lazio game, the Coppa Italia, which for us right now it's 1 o'clock Eastern time before the game, so it's in 2 hours. And, So we'll start off with my least favorite topic here, Roma-Genoa. I'm gonna set a timer right now so I don't go on about the referees, because that's been a topic of discussion for far too long this year, and I don't think you guys want to hear about VAR controversy every episode. So I set a timer now, and let's get into it. So Roma-Genoa. Going into the game, I expected a win. Genoa is not a very good team at all, especially when it comes to scoring goals. They struggle. Defensively, they're decent, but I think most, you know, smaller teams are. They sit back and make it very hard for these top teams to get goals. So I expect it to be difficult to find a goal. And towards the end, we all saw what happened. Nicola Zaniolo, a moment of brilliance. He got by 4 or 5 players using his strength and protecting the ball, and unleashed a big rocket from the left side of the box, the bottom right corner, and ran to the fans and celebrated. It was a good moment for him, obviously. Coming off 2 ACL tears, it's been tough for him, and all the criticism and all the links to Juve and all these rumors really just going around the whole week building up to that match. And for him, scored a goal is probably a really big moment for him. And, yeah, it's great to see as a Roma fan and even just an Italian football fan in general. It's good to see him doing well. And, yeah, he starts celebrating, and I'm just waiting for, you know, the ref to blow the whistle and continue the game. And then at the bottom left of my screen, I see a VAR check. I'm like, for what? What even happened? Like, I didn't think much of it. I'm like, it wasn't offside. Zaniolo didn't hit anyone. Like, when he's protecting the ball, like, I don't know what it could possibly be. And then they go back to Tammy Abraham. He was dribbling the ball, and then I'm not sure what player it was because it was on Saturday now. It's been a couple of days. He's dribbling the ball, and then someone reached out to go and tackle him. And then as he was, like, running, he stepped on someone's foot, which, I don't know, to me, when they brought in VAR, it was to fix clear and obvious errors. And I don't know about you, Dan. To me, it's not a clear and obvious error at all. And, they called the goal back. And my problem is, it's not even with the call, although I really do disagree with it, because like Mourinho said, it's not football anymore, this sport. Like, it's become so headline driven and so, it's so many politics involved. And that goal, I know there's no VAR back in the day, but I'm saying if there was VAR, the way they played, the physicality they played with, that would not be disallowed at all. Like, they wouldn't even consider it. Yeah.
I think a lot of these goals, like,
nowadays. Yeah, a lot of these nowadays, easily.
A lot of them wouldn't be goals back then if VAR was introduced. But even throughout the games and stuff, I know Roma has been, a lot of the times they've been kind of screwed over. I want to use the word screwed over, but I'm going to use it. By the referees, by the calls. We've seen it with Napoli a lot of times too. There's been countless times it's been happening, but even every team in the league, it's just, we just need the league to be more consistent. And I feel like there'll be times where there's a foul called
in one game and not the other.
And then the next game, it's not. Like, for example, leading up to, I believe it was the first goal, I want to say, maybe the second goal. You see there was a foul, maybe a potential foul on Sanchez,
Giroud body checked him.
Body checked him.
A clear body check.
In my opinion, if that's a foul, the Tammy Abraham one, then the one in the Milan game should have been a foul. But easily. For me, these are two clean plays. As I feel like Giroud was shoulder to shoulder, and the timely one, like, it's not really a foul. It was not really a foul, and you see in certain replays that he's gotten the ball. So for me, they just need to be more consistent when calling these fouls. And the introduction to VAR should be helping, but it seems like it's been making the games worse when it comes to creating a headline, creating is soccer really fixed after all, like all this BS around the sport, which we want to clean up, and that's why they introduced the VAR. They're introducing like new technology nowadays just to clean up the sport, but it seems like we're
slowly worse.
Going back. Yeah, we're slowly taking steps backwards, and we needed to take go forward and work 90% of the time. I know it's not going to be perfect. No sports video review are perfect, because at the end of the day, it comes down to what the referee thinks. But as long as they're consistent, that's all you can ask for.
Yeah, and my problem is, you know, the call is one thing. I completely disagree with that call. But another thing is the consistency factor. Like, I can name multiple occasions. I'll name three now right off the bat. Like, I think the Napoli game, Lobotka stomped on someone's foot, which I don't think should have been a foul. But, it's, like, if you call the Tammy one, you need to call that one. The Giroud one, similar thing. He body checked him, even though I think it was clean.
Yeah. There's a play where Lobotka, he went in hard. I believe it was Lobotka. Yeah, he went in hard on a player, but he got 110% of the ball. The player fell, and they deemed it to be a foul, and Lobotka got yellow for it, which was crazy, because I even tweeted out, like, oh, so in 2022, you get yellow cards for slide tackles that get most of the ball, like 90% of the ball. You got, like, got all the ball. I don't think he made contact with the player until the ball was after.
If these things are getting called, then that Giroud one needs to be called. And, you know, what really annoys me is that, I don't know if you remember, when Roma played Juve at the Allianz Stadium, in the build-up to Juve's goal, I think Moise Keane's goal, the header, I could be wrong, though. It was a long time ago now. Weston McKennie handballed it, a clear handball.
Yeah,
it was a clear handball. In the build-up to the goal, they did not check VAR, but for us, they do. I just feel like when we play, or maybe smaller teams, they search for a reason to disallow it, rather than a clear and obvious error. And if you look at the, I don't even want to call it Tammy foul, but when he was dribbling and then his foot landed on someone else's foot, which, you know, he's stomping on the ground, like, it's going to happen, his feet there, like, I don't know. But the referee had a clear view of the play and didn't blow his whistle. So why, like, and he didn't play the advantage, he didn't raise his arm or anything. It was clean, so he continued. He understood Tammy's dribbling. So I don't know where you expect Tammy to put his foot when someone's dribbling the ball. If someone's foot's under them while they're running at full speed, what do you think's going to happen? They're going to stomp on their foot. If the Cagliari player, if the general player had the ball and then Tammy stomped on it, then fair enough, it's a foul. But when someone's dribbling, it's not his fault. Someone went in to go tackle him and their foot landed under his. If anything, it should be a foul on them. Like, for example, basketball, I don't know who watches the NBA here that's listening, but when someone goes to contest a shot at the three-point line, if the defender's foot is under the shooter, it's a foul on the defender because you got to give them space to land. It's the same thing when you're running. Tammy could have got hurt too. Lucky he's wearing cleats. But if you're wearing running shoes and you're running full speed and I put my foot under yours, you're probably going to twist your ankle or something. It's going to be an uneven landing. So to me, it's a big joke. And consistency is what really annoys me, not even the call itself.
Yeah.
One game something's called, the other game it's not. And it's like I'm talking about scenarios from 2 years ago. It's the same day things like the Milan game, like Giroud body checking him. I don't think it's a foul, but if you're going to call the Tammy one while he's running and lands on someone's foot,
you
got to call that too. You have to call both. Yeah.
Like a good example of not using VAR properly was there was a foul on Mertens where Ibkani, I think his name was, the right back for Venezia. He goes in, studs first on Mertens. They give a foul. And you see the replay. He goes studs first, and it's right, like, close to, like, the calf area, like, close to the calf area. Not calf area, but, like, his shin area. Anytime you go studs first, you leave studs first, it's a red card. A good example, they went to VAR, and they made the correct call. That's what you need. They need it to be more consistent.
Exactly.
They need to always make it correct. And I feel like nowadays, too, it's kind of hard on the referee's point, too, to make these calls because a lot of times players are diving and selling calls. They got to have to try to find a way to eliminate diving. I know it's going to be physically impossible because you always have those guys that find ways, but cut down on it, because nowadays it's prophetic where you look at soccer from early 2000s or like late 90s and 80s, and these guys used to play hard. They would call like 10 fouls a game. Now it's just 10 fouls in the first half. Like, it's incredible how like times have changed, and I feel like the consistency of the referees are just getting worse and worse. Like, it's one game this is a foul, and the next game it's not. Like, you'll know to all referees, like, oh, this guy's gonna call every foul. Like, I think that's what goes through the players' heads too sometimes.
And you're gonna have to play through some more physicality. Like, in my opinion, Di Bello, the referee for Roma Inter yesterday, I think did a brilliant job. Yesterday he let them play through a lot of physicality. People were going everywhere. Some plays were a little stupid, like the Zaniolo yellow card when him and I think Bastoni went for a header and it collided and Zaniolo got a yellow without a warning. But I don't know, to me that was stupid. Some things he kind of messed up on, but more or less I thought he repped a good game. He let a lot of things that would usually be called a foul go.
Yesterday's game was, in my opinion, one of the best officiating matches in the last few months.
He let them play.
Like, you could tell he let the boys play. Like, that's the saying. They let the guys play. Let the boys play.
That's the way it should be.
They're not going in hard. They're not killing each other. You gotta really like tone down on these fake flops and stuff too.
Which
I'm not a big fan of. But at the end of the day, you can control these players and their mindset.
And obviously, like, I don't know if you saw Dan, but like before a second goal, they dragged down Oliveira. To me, that was a foul, but I'm not going to blame that for the loss. We got completely outplayed, so I really don't care. I didn't mention it on my Twitter or anything. We deserved to lose that game. But other than that, I thought the game was perfectly reffed, and I think more games should be like that, more physicality. You know, they get paid all this money to work on their body and train every day. Let them play through some contact, man. Let them actually earn the foul. Like, Zaniolo, like, I don't know who watches him consistently. I know Roma fans. He gets, like, killed. Like, bad. Like, I think one general player, I don't think I saw, he put Zaniolo's shirt over his head. He was grabbing his shirt and, like, oh my God, it's bad. I've never seen a player since maybe, I'm trying to think, who got fouled this much that I remember watching? Messi. I'm trying to remember, even Seedorf at Milan sometimes he would get, because he's a strong guy. And sometimes you get, what's the word I want to use? You get punished for being so strong on the ball sometimes, because since they know you're a big guy, they call less things on you because they don't expect it to go down. But when you're a smaller player, sometimes you get the benefit of the doubt. And Zaniolo doesn't like going down easy. So when he gets fouled, he actually gets fouled. Kind of like Bilal.
Even surprisingly, too, guys like, for Napoli, standpoint, guys like Lozano gets fouled a lot. Osimhen gets fouled a lot because of the way they play and the way they get in there.
Yeah, it's... they need to, this summer, sit down, please, and just fix, I don't know what they got to do, to be honest. They got to do a lot of things. It's far from, it'll never be perfect, but it's far from professional. Like, it's not a professional effort from these referees, in my opinion. I'm going to sound biased, and I know people are going to say, oh, blah, 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 whatever. But I honestly believe we've lost up to 10 points this season from referees. Last season, I don't know if you saw that, Smalling headed it against Mönchengladbach to call it a handball.
Yeah, that, like, I saw.
That was probably the most ridiculous. It always happens. It's a consistent thing. It's happening every year, almost every week now. It's getting really annoying, and it's hard to watch at times. So, I'm going to end it there with the referee discussion. I don't want to drag this on. I already went over my limit. But, no more to the referees, and just need to be better, and I think everyone can agree on that. Just not just for Roma. I'm saying the whole league in general and even football. And, moving on, the derby, Milan-Inter. I was not able to watch this game. Well, I was able to, but I couldn't bear to watch another game after seeing the Roma-Genoa game. I was completely, I'll just say I was pissed off, and I didn't want to see a football for maybe a couple of weeks. But I ended up watching some games after. But, yeah, Dan, I know you got a chance to watch the Milan-Inter game. I saw some highlights. I was really not in the mood to watch it, so break it down and what you think about it.
Yeah, no, what a game it was. Both teams, you can tell they were really going at it. For me, personally, I know the scoreline tells different, but I thought Inter were the better side on the day. They had so many chances to make it 2-0, but Mignon, he's been absolutely incredible for Milan this season. He was probably Milan's best player up to the point where Giroud got the 2 goals. Both goals were well taken by Giroud. The second one was... incredible, great turn by him. caught the inter defense lacking. I believe it was the Vrij on him, a little slow to react. You can question that. Hadanovic should have made that save. It deflected off of him and went in. But Milan picked up the big 2-1 win to keep their Scudetto hopes alive, to keep the Scudetto race intact between the three teams of Inter, Napoli, and Milan. And it was just a very good game to watch. There was fireworks on the field and also off the field with the incident between Hernandez getting a red card, I believe, on the slide tackle with Dumfries, and walking down from that. There was an alleged incident where Martinez spit on Hernandez, and Hernandez reacted, and they were going to go face-to-face, but it was cleared up. But it was a very entertaining game, both on the field and off the field. For me, I thought Inter were the better side throughout the game, but give Milan a lot of credit. They found a way to battle back, found a way to get the 3 points. And again, Giroud, he's been coming clutch with them, especially without Ibrahimovic, who's been out with injuries and COVID, say, but he's injured now. But it was very well performed by Giroud, by a classy player. The guys scored the biggest goals when you need them to, and he scored the biggest goals for Milan of the season so far, and that was a big 3 points. And it's a title race now, so we gotta need Inter to drop that game in hand, and it's gonna be very interesting to see what happens now, because they have a tough game this week against Napoli, and also they're coming off a big 2-0 win against Roma, so it'll be interesting to see what Inter team shows up and what they can do.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's going to be interesting now with so many teams so close together. Inter Napoli coming up. It's very interesting. And I think this whole Farmers League joke that these other leagues have, they can stop now with that, because from first to third place, it's very close. And even fourth isn't, you know, crazy distance away. And yeah, the Serie A has been good this year. And I really do believe that. There's almost no bad teams in the league right now. Genoa, I think, plays pretty poor. Cagliari plays pretty poor, even though they upset Atalanta. Salernitana obviously don't really have the firepower, even though they made some nice additions. But with Perotti, former Roma player, I think he's a good pickup as well. But yeah, no, Serie A is very difficult this year, and anyone could win it. I'd still favor Inter, but you know, who knows nowadays? Anything can happen. So we'll see. It's a very important time now for the title race to see who can really get ahead here. And I think it'll be crucial to have maybe a 4-point lead if Inter can win that game in hand they have. So, yeah, great match from what I heard, at least. I saw some highlights. I saw some snippets. Obviously, we mentioned the Giroud and Sanchez body check that took place. There's some controversy. But, yeah, I wasn't enjoying my weekend, but I'm trying to stay away from footy for a little bit to get my mind off the Roma-Genoa game. And I see 1-1 Giroud. I'm like, oh, okay, fair enough. And like, I swear 3 minutes later, I see Giroud again. I'm like, what the hell happened?
Yeah.
When I saw that, I just went straight to Twitter and saw some highlights, and I saw the goals, and I saw a celebration. Like we said in the summer, great pickup from Milan to get Giroud. He's a winner. He's a goal scorer. And, you know, some players, they don't depend on physical attributes to really, you know, score goals. Like, for example, some quicker players like Gervinho back in the day for Roma, when he's older, he's obviously going to struggle like he is now because he's not quick anymore. And Giroud never really depended on pace or anything like that. He's always been someone who's smart. He knows where to be, and he's always played hard. And sometimes it's all you need is a striker. Similar to Belotti, he's not the most gifted technically, or maybe he's quick, but he's not crazy quick, you know, where he's going to blow your mind. But he always plays hard and he finds goals. So sometimes those guys last the longest, and actually not sometimes, they usually do. So I credit to Giroud for having such a great career, and a big moment for him and Milan and their fans. So yeah, big ups to Milan, and let's hope this title race continues to get more interesting. And I'd like to see a couple of lead changes, you know, Inter first, Napoli first, Milan first, you know, make it interesting. And I think that could be something that happens. So yeah, another topic I want to talk about, Milinkovic-Savic, obviously, I'm not like Lazio whatsoever as a Roma fan, but they did defeat Fiorentina 3-0. I was going to get into the game, but it's pretty straightforward. Fiorentina did not play well whatsoever. And Savic really caught my eye in this match. I thought he was incredible, and I think he's been good this whole year and has been for a while now. Dan, do you think he is the best midfielder right now in the Serie A?
Midfielder right now?
Yeah.
I don't think, personally, I don't think he is, but he's not. I have him top five, but he's not the best for me. But he can, any day of the week, because there's a lot of times where he will have a great performance, and then
the
next two games, he'll go down par, like just be par. But when he is on, I feel like he is a top five midfielder in the league. I still think guys like Barella, personally, I think Zielinski is up there too for top three in the league. But he's up there, no doubt about it. He did play awesome against Lazio, against Fiorentina, I should say. I was able to watch that match, and he was the one guy that caught my eye. He was, the way the team was playing, it was all through him. I do believe he might leave in the summer. That's what I think, and I feel like he'll go to like a bigger team. But as of right now, he's playing lights out. He's playing well, and when he plays well, that you can see Lazio's a different team. But when he doesn't, they're not as good. But he's for me Lazio's most important player, and if he can continue to play like he did against Fiorentina, then Lazio can make a push for the Europa League, and who knows, maybe he can sneak into that fourth spot too.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I don't think he's the best. I think if you get all the best midfielders and you say who's the best on their day, like at their peak, then maybe you can say him because he can do everything. He can score, he can assist, he can defend. But I think if you want to look at the season as a whole and who's been most consistent and impactful, I'd say, Barella for me is probably the best midfielder. Yeah. I think he's incredible against Roma.
And even surprisingly, really people can argue this. I think Brozovic too is up there.
Yeah, he's very underrated. Against Roma, he had a little bit of an off game at some points. He made some mistakes, but yeah, he's a very good player, and he has been for a long time now, and he's crucial to Inter. He really helps Barella do what he does best. He sits back and lets Barella get forward and, you know, be a box-to-box. And the good and great box-to-box midfielder he has been, and I think Brozovic has played a big part in that. And I think Barella's ability to carry the ball forward from the defensive area to the attacking area is incredible. And he has a rocket on him. His shots are like missiles. Like, even against Roma, he hit the crossbar in the first half. He got robbed in the top corner from Rui Patricio in the second half. He's got a shot on him. I don't think that's something he had when he was a little younger. He's always had a good shot, but his shot's gotten much better as of late. And he's been becoming a better playmaker. You know, last season he really improved when it came to making a final pass. Before, he was more of just a guy who does the dirty work, wins the ball, and brings it up. And now he's getting the statistics to back it up as well. And, yeah, I think Barella is by far, in my opinion, the best midfielder in the league. I think at their peak, if you want to put everyone on their best possible day, then maybe you could say Savage because he can offer a little bit more than everyone else. I think more just because of his physical stature. You know, he's that big and that quick. But, Barella's got to be the best, in my opinion. And, Great win for Lazio. Credit to them. Fiorentina is, they're up and down. They're either very good or very bad. There's really no in between of them. But I think Italiano's got them to play much better football than in the past. And I still think it's a great move from Commisso to bring in Italiano. Venezia Napoli, Dan, take it away.
Yeah, no. It was a big win for us. For me, it was a huge win, especially leading up to this Inter match and seeing them draw points prior to the Sunday. I wasn't really impressed with the way we played, though. I felt like we were sloppy at times. I wasn't really impressed with the way we were playing. I felt like at times we were just like lackadaisical and we were missing that final pass. We need to be better for Inter coming up. But I was really impressed with the way La Boca and Fabian Ruiz have been playing. Again, like, I can say this all the time. It was just very good from both of them. They were creating a lot from the back, collecting the ball, playing it up. I was happy that Osimhen came back, his first start since coming back from the injury. Getting back on the score sheet was special, especially now that everyone wants to talk about Vlahovic to Juve. For me, I said this a lot, and I go, guys, I don't worry about Vlahovic going to Juve. We have our own star boy too, in Osimhen, that we've paid a lot for. And if this guy can stay healthy, start scoring, he can score 20 goals a season just like Vlahovic can do. But for me, I was happy that he was scoring. It's good to see him score again. And for me, he's an important player for us. If he can start scoring, then our team will look 100 times better than what it was in the past without him. But also, too, it was good to see Petagna coming off the bench, scoring, because we need everyone scoring, clicking on all cylinders, picking up the 3 points as much as we need it, especially with these, smaller teams. If we want to contend for this good effort, we have to continue to get the 3 points. And this game, leading up to this game, it's going to be big. For me, this could be our Scudetto game. If we win this game, I will hop on the train again that we're going to win the Scudetto. But now I'm just like, okay, we need to beat Inter first. It's not going to be easy. But I feel like if we can play on all cylinders, especially now with guys like Anguissa coming back, potentially Koulibaly could be in the lineup for this match after coming off winning the African Cup of Nations and him being the captain, being leader. So this could give him a little more spark, more motivation to play hard and be the Koulibaly that we know and love. So this could be a big game coming up. But I'm happy that we picked up the 3 points against Venezia, who played tough. They had a couple chances in the game, not too much. But it's a very important win for us. And hopefully now that we can continue that and beat Inter on Saturday.
Yeah, no, like I said, Napoli has been doing well. You know, Koulibaly gone for so long, it's always tough. But their backup players, if you want to even call them that, I don't really like referring to players as backups. I think, you know, in football, you know, it's 11-man teams. They're not really backups. Yeah. You need to make a lot of changes. It's not like, you know, basketball where there's like clear backups. But, yeah, they're deaf players, I guess you want to call them. They've been doing well to hang in there and get results, which is all that matters at the end of the day. And credit to Osimhen for, you know, coming back with a bang, a really nice header, and great ball from, who was it again, Dan?
Politano.
Yeah, Politano, yeah, Politano, that's why I was happy.
Yeah, which was good, too, because he was...
Four first half.
I think he was one of the worst players on the pitch prior to that cross, but it's nice that he contributed now, especially with Lozano out, so if Politano can get into form, find his form, find his feet again, like the way he was even last season at times. But I want him to play like the Politano he was at Sassuolo. We need him to start clicking, especially because our wingers with Insigne and Politano, for me, they've been average this season, not the best, but not the worst. But we need them to click on all cylinders if we really want to contend for this Scudetto.
Yeah, a great ball, and that's why I was happy to this weekend when he made that, because obviously he's Roman, so I'm a big Politano supporter. And great win for Napoli, great confidence booster for Osimhen. And hopefully, like I said, the title race continues to be close, and I don't want anyone to pull away just yet. I like how it's big toss-up right now on who's going to win the Scudetto. Another team who, you know, I don't think has a real shot at winning the Scudetto this year, but they're certainly building a good young core, Juve. They had a great win over Verona, 2-0. Goals from Vlahovic and Zakaria, the two new boys who came in and performed extremely well. I thought Vlahovic had a nice debut, certainly a nice goal with the chip. To be honest, I kind of felt like he was going to score. I feel like the whole match was building up to that, and he scored very early. Just the whole aura around him just felt like he was going to get that goal, and the Verona was not defending well at all. So I think it became very clear very quick that he was going to score in this match, and he did. Zakaria, I didn't expect him to score. Obviously, he's not someone who I don't think scored a lot of goals for Mönchengladbach.
I don't think he does. But it was a smart play from him too, pushing up. Malata looked like a pillow this game. He was creating.
Yeah. He's like, oh wow, I don't score goals anymore. Let me just sit back and let these new guys take the reins. Yeah, Juve, I don't think they played well, to be honest. The whole match, I thought Verona had long stretches where they almost tied it, and I don't want to say they dominated Juve, but, you know, they played much better than Juve at some points in the match, and it wasn't as straightforward as they couldn't finish. It wasn't as straightforward as the scoreline may tell you. But that's what happens, man. When you have these class signings, they make the difference. All you need is that one chance. The smaller teams need, you know, 4 or 5 to get one. And when you spend, you know, up to 100 million almost in January, that's what the difference is going to make. These guys are going to come in and make an impact, and that's what they did. Maybe, well, I know they both scored, but, you know, if they weren't here yet, maybe it could have been a different result without Vlahovic and Zakaria. But we don't know that. Maybe Morata would have scored. Who knows? But these January signings are definitely going to help Juve, not only for now, but the future. They have a good young core, Locatelli, Chiesa, Vlahovic. If you want to consider De Ligt a good player, you know, injured Zaniolo. So, but they have De Ligt, they have a bunch of young players, and even Fagioli, who I think is talented. We'll see what he does when he comes back.
Rovella, too.
Yeah, Rovella coming back. I forgot about him. They have a lot of good young players, and when we thought Juve was finally done and dusted, they just came back out of nowhere with these signings, and they're back in the conversation, and they should be good for quite a few years now. All these players pan out. You know, it doesn't always work out, so we don't know what's going to happen yet, but it's looking good for the future, and yeah, credit to Juve for getting the win. Verona defensively were a complete disaster, in my opinion. They were not on the same page. Their back line was so disorganized for most of the game. I'm surprised Juve didn't find the back net a couple more times than they actually did. But, yeah. Do I think they're going to win Scudetto this year? No. But Champions League, I think it's almost locked up at this point. I don't see how they won't get it. Atalanta is looking a lot weaker nowadays. Obviously, the result against Cagliari wasn't favorable for them. But, yeah, man, it's frustrating as a Roma fan seeing all these teams doing so well and we're just, struggling right now. Hopefully we win the Conference League, though. That would be nice. But Juve, I think they still need one more midfielder, in my opinion. I don't think the midfield's set. Rabiot, that guy, let's not get into it, but I don't really rate him. I don't think Juve fans rate him. I think he's a decent player, maybe to come off the bench. He's not a bad player by any means, but if you want to win the Champions League, because at the end of the day, that's Juve's goal. They won plenty of Scudetto. They don't need that shouldn't be their goal. Champions League is the goal. They won't win it this year. If they do, I'll be completely shocked, but they won't win it this year. Next year, if they can add a midfielder and build a strong core, I think Allegri, even though he gets a lot of hate, I still think he's a good manager. He just needs time and to get the players he wants. I think Juve, they can make a push again like they did back in 2015, but who knows? And who will they sign in midfield? I don't know, to be honest. I thought they wanted Awar for a couple of years now. They didn't get him. Which, anyway, I think one more midfielder will really be important for them. And re-signing Dybala, of course. That should be number one at the top of the priority list. I know he gets hurt a lot. Depending on how much money he wants, then we'll see. But Dybala is very important to Juve. And you saw that great ball he gave to Vlahovic on his goal. So, yeah, great future for Juve, and even in the present right now, they're looking scary. So, yeah, once again, credit to them. To end off your Coppa Italia talk, then, it's got some good matches. Lazio Milan, which I think, like I said, it begins in like an hour now at this point. And Roma played Inter yesterday. Inter was the better team. I know people are going to say, oh, Roma in the second half had all these chances, but I don't think it's because Roma were the better team. I think it's because Inter had the lead and they sat back. And that's what happens. These good teams, when you give them a goal early on, they're just going to sit back and hit you on the counter. Inter have so much speed going forward. They don't need to get 2, 3, 4 goals to beat a team like Roma. So they sat back. They absorbed. They almost, Handanovic made a nice save when I think Oliveira shot it and deflected off of maybe Skriniar or someone and almost went in. We had a nice touch save over the crossbar. Some good chances. Zaniolo almost scored early on in the first half. But Handanovic made a nice save with his feet. And some chances for Roma, but never really threatened too much. And Sanchez scored an incredible goal. I don't think any keeper on this planet would have got to that. That was some strike. And the thing I noticed about Inter is when you look at their lineup, obviously they had Milan on the weekend. They have Napoli coming up. They have, I think, Liverpool next week. All these important games, you think, oh, they're going to make a heavy rotation, bring their subs in. If you look at their lineup, they had, I think, 4 substitutes. Those 4 substitutes can start on a lot of Serie A teams. Like, they are very deep, and I think that's what sets them apart from other teams. Sanchez off the bench, that guy's playing like he used to for Arsenal. Okay, maybe not that good, but I'm saying for a substitute, he's a top-tier sub to come in the game and make a difference. And you can start him in these games and not be worried about, he's not going to be up to the standard we need him to be to get the win. He's going to perform, and he's been doing well for Inter. So, yeah, credit to Sanchez. Lazio Milan today, like I said, it should be a good game. I'd favor Milan probably, just they have good momentum off the derby. Then there's also Atalanta Fiorentina, which, to be honest, those two teams then, I don't know if you agree, they're probably both wild cards. Like, Atalanta either look incredible or look terrible, and same with Fiorentina, so who knows what can happen there. Juve Sassuolo as well tomorrow. That'll be a fun one. Sassuolo, they usually sit down for Juve in the past, but this year they got a result against them, which was shocking. So who knows with them, and I also believe, well, I don't believe, I know, that Spadori and Scamacca are suspended for the weekend, so they'll for sure play tomorrow, and they'll probably want to get that win, so we'll see what happens with that. Got some good games lined up then. Which game are you looking forward to most?
To be honest, I was looking forward to the Roma-Inter match the most. I feel like that's just, for me, that's a very important game for both sides. Today, I'm going to enjoy watching the Milan-Lazio game. We'll see what happens, but tomorrow, it's going to be a tough game, but I think Juve will pull through. But don't be surprised if Sassuolo battle them till the end, and maybe this game could even go to extra time. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows what's going to happen.
There's some good games, and it's always the Coppa Italia. You're going to get these upsets. We saw it last round with Fiorentina, in my opinion, upsetting Napoli. Yeah. I feel like this round, maybe Lazio can pull through. Who knows? Maybe Sassuolo can surprise a lot of people and upset Juve. Highly doubt that will happen, but you never know. Weird things have happened in cup games. We've seen it in England, and we could probably potentially see it in Italy too now.
Yeah, and even Atalanta Fiorentina, that's a big toss-up in my opinion. I don't think it's straightforward at all for Atalanta.
No, that one, I think Atalanta, if everything clicks, they could go.
I favor them.
We'll see.
But who knows? Yeah. A lot of good games this weekend. We got some good games too. Obviously, the biggest one being Napoli-Inter. A huge, huge match. Atalanta-Juventus also will be a great one. Hope you guys enjoy the Coppa Italia games in midweek. Enjoy the weekend's games. And we'll be back next week with more. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the episode. If you want to check us out on social media, it's @SixAtCalcio. The same way it's written here for, you know, the podcast title. And, see you next week. Ciao.
Ciao, guys.